Welcome to Animateez, a retro anime review comedy podcast. Join our resident anime nerd Mackenzie and anime noob Lindsay as they delve into their VHS vault and review the best and worst of what the 80s and 90s had to offer. These episodes contain spoilers and adult language, so stick around if you're cool like that.
Hi, hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Animateez, everyone. We're glad you're here. We're glad you could join us. Mackenzie, how are you? How have you been?
I'm doing pretty good. I've been going through my storage closet and opening up old boxes and finding some cool anime shit from my childhood. So that's been pretty sweet. Finding some old manga, some old figures, and the like. Some old original Japanese import Pokemon sticker sheets.
Oh my gosh, incredible.
Or as every parent would say, Pokemon, because they refuse to ever fucking say it correctly. And it's right there in front
spite.
Of them.
They're like, exactly. I am dad. I have to do the dadisms.
Exactly. What about you? How you doing?
Doing okay. You know, getting excited about wallpaper because I'm an adult now. I mean, yes, I'm an adult who buys wallpaper, but I also buy Cruella de Vil wallpaper. So, you know.
Like it's pictures of Cruella de Vil?
No, apparently it's inspired by the movie Cruella that came out a couple of years ago. I don't know. But yeah, are you ready to find out what I'm going to get you to watch?
I'm a little nervous because I feel like you're about to troll me pretty hard.
I am not trolling you. Why would you think I'm trolling you?
Because I've often trolled you in the past. So I'm a little nervous that I'm about to be watching like Hello Kitty or something.
Oh, I didn't realize that was in our time frame. Oh, man. Well, next time. If you had to guess what kind of show I've chosen, what would you guess?
Well, I just gave you fantasy last week. And before that, we were watching a lot of space stuff and things like that. So I think that's all out of the line. I think you're giving me a slice of life anime.
Really?
Some kid in college or some kid in school. I think you're giving me something that is going to appear as one thing and will turn out to be another, much like when I had you watch A Promised Neverland.
Oh gosh.
So I'm expecting slice of life gone wrong. Slice of life turned horror.
Okay. I think you're almost there.
Really?
It's not quite, but yeah, no, there's definitely horror elements to it. See, with you, I feel like you had an unfair advantage because you had things that you could pull from your childhood that's in our time period. Whereas all the things I liked from my childhood were in the early 2000s. So like Helsing's out and Inuyasha's out and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I had to like, you know, do what every good white girl does when they need to figure stuff out. And I made a Pinterest board. Of just
okay,
yeah. I made a Pinterest board of I literally typed in 80s anime and then found a bunch of like cool posters with like keywords on it that I thought maybe would be interesting. So I just started pinning them all and then going through that and like watching a bunch of weird stuff on YouTube to figure out what I wanted to watch. So the series that I found is from Toei Animation. Which
that's
I was
a classic
researching.
Studio. That's Dragon
yeah,
Ball.
Yeah, does so many. Yeah, Dragon Ball, Sailor Moon, Digimon, this weird little anime that you may have heard of called One Piece. You know, just a couple of things.
Yep. Yeah.
But I started watching it and I just didn't turn it off. And I was like, okay, I feel like this is going to be the one. So I won't keep you in anticipation. We are going to be watching 1991 OVA Sazen Aizu. So you have to write it 3x3 and then eyes.
Oh, 3x3. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've heard of this.
Yeah.
I've and so never actually watched it, surprisingly.
Yeah. I never heard of it either. But I on the movie poster, it was like thriller, occult. And then it also kind of has like magic girl vibes as well. I don't know. It's very interesting. It's an OVA that was released in 1991 based off of the manga series written by Yuzo Takada in 1987. I think the manga has something like 40 chapters and went until 2002. So it's like, it's a beefy
series.
Not bad. it's interesting, and I'm interested to hear your thoughts on it.
I don't expect like a ton of spoilers or anything. If you give me at least a bit of a hint into what I am watching.
You know those series where it's like person just like going on with their life and it's all regular and stuff like that, and then they meet this strange person and the world is turned upside down? That's this series. I am excited for you to find out what the thing is that happens to change this person's life forever, basically. It's
the only thing I know about 3x3 or 3x3 or 33 eyes.
It's pronounced Sazen Aizu, so, or Sazen Eyes. Because Sazen is how you say 3x3 in the Japanese multiplication table. I thought of like all the like K-pop bands that I used to listen to back in the day and was like, Batoost? I don't understand. Oh, it's Beast because 2 is like pronounced E. So that's what it made me.
Well, it's like
think
Hunter
of.
X Hunter. People say, yep, don't say the X, it's Hunter Hunter. And it's like, then don't put the fucking X there.
Yeah, it's like, then why is there an X in there? Or 21.
You just call the anime
like
that's called X just nothing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so now we know it's
the
Sazen.
Only thing I know from childhood knowledge of seeing a bunch of VHS and stuff everywhere is someone has 3 eyes. I imagine they're the thing that's jumping into this world to cause problems. He's living a normal ass fucking life, and all of a sudden, little Miss 3x3 eyes shows up and changes his whole world around. That is my prediction. I'm sticking to it. I'm going to imagine that there's probably demons and there's probably like a talking dog. I just feel like there's going to be a talking dog somewhere in this series.
That's the 3x3
we'll see if. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, go on. Go watch it. Go watch it. Come on now. All right. Well, we're back from letting Mackenzie watch the show. And Mackenzie, what are your initial thoughts about it? How did you feel about watching this?
I want to say straight off the fucking bat that I am the damn champion. I am the anime boy. I was so fucking correct in my genre guess. Slice of life gone
horror. You were so good. You were so good. I was like, holy moly.
It is literally kid who is in school has his life turned up in a non-wholesome way. That is, yep, slice of life horror, and I was so fucking right.
I mean, was his life a slice of life before Pi came in, though?
Yeah, he was like he an had orphan. His gang. They were doing like, no, he had his That's full true. Gang. They're doing motorcycle trips. Like, they have like monthly trips planned out. Do I get a prize?
You can get a fresh, crisp high five next time we're in the same room. And just the clout for being the anime genre king.
The anime boy.
Ooh.
I will admit, though, as much as I was right, I am a bit conflicted.
Okay, tell me your conflictions.
So, part of me wants to love it.
Okay.
Part of me thinks it was meh.
It was, oh, I thought you said it was meth. I was like,
no.
What?
Part of me loves it. Part of me really loves it. No, I don't love meth.
Just a teeth-ruining good time.
I think it suffers from OVA syndrome, where it's like, okay, being compacted too tight.
I could see that, yeah.
It would have gotten away more out of it with like 8 or 10 episodes. And you'd think with all the fucking money they're saving by having half the animation be black shadows everywhere, they could afford to have more episodes. But alas, they did not. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, it has a lot going for it. But if it had a few more episodes, you could have had more shenanigans, more development of the powers.
Yeah.
More sexy Miss Wong demon mommy.
Oh my gosh. How did I know that you would like her?
I don't know. It's probably the ears.
Yep, it was the ears. It's like Deedlit.
But no, if I had to give it like a legitimate, solid yay or nay, I'll give it a yay.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I'm not mad that I watched it.
No, like, it was like a dark, demon-focused anime with tons of action scenes and, like, there was some comedy.
Yep, and there was, like, there was good character development in it, too. You know, like, yeah, you genuinely do develop like a connection for Pi and for Yakumo and stuff like that. So, yeah, I thought it was good in that sense.
I felt for Pi because it was clear that Happy Pi was the emotion suppressed version of Angry Pi.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, I feel for you. I'm so sorry that you're going through this.
I just remember when I was watching the fourth episode, I saw that there was like 3 minutes left in the episode, and I was like, how is this gonna end?
Literally in my notes when we get to the episode is I'm just like, we're about to have the fastest anime battle in history.
Yeah, exactly.
And we did, but we'll get there.
Yep, we will. That's just a little tease for you all.
And here's the thing. I enjoyed the fact that like the characters were fun and that they didn't shy away from blood or fucking people up, because people get fucked up in this.
Oh man, so fucked up.
They're not afraid to blow off limbs or do whatever on screen.
Have shit like grow out of bodies and man. Yeah, this is content warning, this is a very gory series. So if you're a little squeamish, this might not be the one for you.
It has more gore than Wicked City had.
Oh yeah. 100%.
Which is kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and like I love gore, just because I work in that kind of industry. Yeah. So I find it interesting. But even this, there were some things that I was like, oh no. So
well, the funny thing actually referencing Wicked City is this actually shares a bunch of the same voice actors.
Oh rad. I was like, who specifically was shared?
The person who voiced Ling Ling.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Occult book writer was the girl with the luscious red hair that we loved, the Playboy massage parlor worker.
Oh, I remember. Was it the soap one?
Yeah.
Yep.
The soap lady. And the girl who does Miss Wong does the lady who like opens up her stomach and tries to engulf the dude.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to save the other lady. But anyways, I love Pi. I would protect her with my life because she is just so happy and goofy and has no idea what's going on.
Oh, yeah. She's so sweet and so innocent and just like really embodies that childlike wonder, I guess, of like going out on your own for the first time and like nothing evil could possibly happen, you know. Yakumo's gonna help me become a human and then everything will be like sunshine and rainbows.
They do her dirty in the animation a little bit, because sometimes they just only animate her one fang tooth and the rest is just gum. And I'm like, hold on, why do you gotta do her so dirty? Like, she looks terrible. The first scene when she's like all covered in dirt after he hits her with her fucking bike, I'm like, does she have one tooth? Is she gumming it for this whole series?
Oh, no.
Thankfully it's not, or she's not. But they for some reason make this weird choice to sometimes just, and it's not just because it's her lips are a little closed, sometimes her mouth is fully open and it's one tooth and she's like your favorite, you know, grandma or something. Just,
oh my gosh. Oh no, don't do that noise, the worst. ASMR. It made me think a little bit of our heads, like our talking heads for the branding, is because you have the little fangs in it.
Oh yeah, but at least I've got the rest of my fucking teeth.
Yeah, it's true, you do.
I like the look of the series, even though I said it was super dark. It's probably just this dark and I'm missing details because I was watching a 360p rip instead of like a DVD version copy or something.
Yeah, say nothing but the best. Especially going from like remastered Lodos before this.
Well, there's a surprising little amount about this show on the internet, I found.
I know, it's weird.
Even the wiki is super sparse.
Yep.
Let's pretend there was a bit more detail in it. I still liked all the designs of the characters, specifically because, and I did some research on the manga, the manga's beautiful.
Oh, okay.
The manga covers are stunning. They've got all these cool outfits for Pi.
Yeah,
Yakumo.
And they're like the traditional Tibetan like looks too. They are gorgeous.
Yeah, and she's got like some cool battle outfits too. And she's got different demons they show on the covers, because she got her bird in this one, but she's also got other ones, some that look like Onyx from Pokemon and things like that.
Just stand by while I Google Onyx from Pokemon.
So I'm going to imagine that there was more detail than I saw, but it was still really dark visually.
Yeah.
Which was annoying, but it does make up for it when the action scenes hit and there's a bit more light.
Oh yeah.
There's not a lot of music in this one. There's no intro song.
There's none. It's just like, here, you get the name of the show so you know you're watching the right thing.
And the thing they do with the music that I do like is they don't need to have music at all points. There's times where you'll go like 10 minutes without a single song.
Yeah.
Because they're just doing stuff.
Punctuate. Yeah, they use it to punctuate it.
Yeah, but then they do a lot of like om music, chanting and whatnot. But then there's the occasional more in-depth song, but Well, I do appreciate the lack of like just straight rock music, like Battle comes in like or something. They're going to kill me for saying rock and then doing a Slayer riff. But ignoring
do
you
even
that.
Know what rock is? You even name
yeah,
three rock songs?
Nickelback.
We're not going to talk about the time when I worked their concert.
Gross.
Yep.
There was some times where the music fell short, but there was a couple moments where it's like, all right, this is perfect. Could it have done better? It absolutely could have. But ignoring those few little things, I still say it's definitely worth a watch.
Oh, yeah. I would completely agree.
If you're into demons and you're into gore and blood and things like that, this is your and like occulty stuff. This is your jam. Or for our UK listeners, your marmalade. Or for our Australian listeners, your Marmite.
Oh, sorry, not yucking anybody's yum.
I am. Marmite's disgusting.
It's like yeast jam.
Gross. I'm probably going to say Nine Eyes just because of 3x3. Mostly because it annoys you and because it's just easier to remember.
It's because I put so much effort into learning how to say it.
Sorry. So sorry. But I'm gonna break down these episodes I watched for everybody. Episode 1 is called Transmigration.
The episode titles are kind of lame for this one. There is no puns.
No, and they're just kind of random. Like, I get, like, yeah. I understand why they're for the episode, but they feel like they could have done more.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we got episode 1, Transmigration. This starts off with a girl wearing really pretty tribal garments being given a letter by a dying man, and all he says is, "This will make you human." And then we cut back to, I think it was Tokyo?
Yeah, it was Tokyo.
Yeah, and this kid's, like, riding his electric scooter motorbike thing the wrong direction down a public street that you're not supposed to ride things on, and
oh
like yells
gosh,
at the police officer,
like,
"Don't worry,
I'm
late
peeve.
For work." Oh, I hate it.
Oh, I hate it so much. Or like those stupid electric unicycle things that people ride now.
Mm-hmm.
Holy moly! Nothing brings me more joy than watching people fall off and just faceplant.
Oh yeah.
So I'm like, absolutely. Yeah, serves you right.
He's speeding through this, and he fucking clocks this girl with a motorcycle.
As you
absolutely
do.
Knocks her clean. He's like, oh shit, I feel bad. He picks her up and he leaves her staff in the road because he didn't know she had it. Some random dude picks it up and walks away as he like carries her off to his work, which it turns out he works in a drag bar.
Yep.
But he's like 16.
So do you know, they don't really explain it in the show as much, but do you know why he works there?
Isn't it because he has no family left alive?
Yeah, exactly. And it he says it like it like in the manga, they say like, yeah, it like I make $30 an hour just serving drinks. And if any of my teachers or anything like come in and see me, like it's awkward for them to explain how they found out that I'm working here. So it's perfect.
That's fair. I should note, the only reason I said it's weird because he's 16 has nothing to do with the fact that it's drag. It has everything to do with the fact that he's serving alcohol in a bar.
Yeah, 100%. Like so I remember when I worked in. Oh, sorry. I was just gonna say, like, I remember when I was underage and I did like waiting and stuff like that. Like, I was not allowed to even touch the alcohol if someone ordered it. Like, an adult, quote unquote, would have to bring it to the table on my behalf.
Yeah, exactly. And this, I don't know what it's like in Japan, especially back in the 80s. But so he like brings this girl in and she kind of like wakes up in this like booth at the bar and she hears someone call out his name. Which was his mama, which is the owner slash manager of the bar.
Oh my gosh, I loved Mama.
Mama is awesome. Mama looks after her
Mama's
kids.
Mama's amazing. Mama knows best.
Yeah, and so this girl like hears his name and goes, "Is this your full name?" And it just so happens that she's the exact boy she's looking for. As this is happening, we kind of cut back to the alleyway with this homeless guy who took her staff, and he like opens it up, and this giant demon bird shoots out of this staff and flies into the this night sky. But as this happens, we're back again at the bar, and she pulls a skull out of her backpack and puts it on the table, and it's like,
yeah, just casually,
"This is your father's."
I know, right? Which I was like, holy shit, like he's being so chill for the fact that she just produced this human skull out of nowhere and then tells him it's her his father.
And he didn't know his dad was dead. He just knew that he was gone somewhere.
Yeah, he was in Tibet researching some sort of like weird like a cult or something, like a tribe.
Yeah. And he doesn't seem too fussed about it. So she like gives him this letter. And the letter's from his father explaining that this girl's name is Pai and that she's from Asanjian Unkata, which is a lost tribe that have been so separated from humans that they're basically immortal demons that live mm-hmm. for many, many years. And she's currently about 300.
Which is and very that, young.
Yeah, apparently. And then Sanjian require a special statue to become human. And he's tasking his son to go and get it from storage in Hong Kong to help this girl achieve
some
humanity.
Publishing company.
And so Yakumo rants to himself like for a while being like, why do I got to do this? I shouldn't have to do this. This is stupid. Blah, 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 blah. And as this is happening, his coworkers are like, you are so dirty, girl. And they go and like change her into like a nice, cute dress.
Oh, I loved that part so much.
It was so nice. It was like, oh,
it was so sweet.
These drag queens are so friendly.
Yeah. And I loved it.
He's like, I'm not doing this. Demons aren't real. This is all stupid. What are you doing? And then
kind of like the logical response to hearing that news.
Yeah. Absolutely. But then all of a sudden on the news, you see the demon bird on the TV is like wreaking havoc. And Pai's like, oh, that's my friend. I can calm him down. And proceeds to like go out and try to stop him. And Yakumo, for some reason, decides to defend this girl that he just hit with a motorcycle and throws himself in the way and impales himself in the chest. And like all of a sudden, Pai develops a third eye, which I guess explains the 3x3 eye.
Yep.
And all of a sudden has a much older sounding, like mature woman's voice.
And very like demanding and like commands your attention.
And then all of a sudden the bird disappears and drops Yakumo. She uses her powers to heal Yakumo, but as this happens, a scar in kanji appears on his forehead, and they both basically kind of pass out. He, for some reason, really quickly is like, all right, guess who I'm going to Hong Kong to find this statue, because demons are clearly real.
I guess
no question
so.
There. And so they go to Hong Kong, and they go to this, like, bank or storage or whatever, I can't remember what it was, place that they were storing the statue.
It was a publishing company, apparently.
Oh, right, it was the Occult Publishing Company. Right, and, like, this demon bursts out of a window. Following it is this girl named Ling Ling.
Oh my gosh, I love Ling Ling.
She's so sassy
mm-hmm.
and is a no bullshitter. She's fucking great.
Oh my gosh, incredible. She's just like calling people on their bullshit while she's like smoking a cigarette and like, yeah, she's and fantastic.
I like when she's like, I don't believe in any of this shit. They're like, don't you have a company dedicated to the occult? She's like, yeah, I just like the paycheck.
I mean, fair. Paycheck's a paycheck.
Yakumo is like, all right, fuck it, I'm chasing after this guy, and runs into the street and gets fucking obliterated by
just a bus. Annihilated, shoes flying everywhere, blood spurting,
full body explosion. You see on the ground, it's nothing but just like,
it's just
enough
rubbery
blood
jam.
To just be jam. Yeah, it's just fucking jam.
Yeah.
And then they like run up and they're like, Yakumo, and he's just like sitting there like, hey, what's up?
Yep.
Everything good?
My favorite part was like they show you that his shoes were knocked off during the like impact, but then he gets up and he has both shoes on, and I'm like, oh, I didn't know it like regenerated clothing.
Which is funny because it never does usually, because he always has bullet holes on his body and his clothes.
Oh yeah. And they're like massive, massive bullet holes.
Yeah, so he gets like he's skid marked across the ground, and all of a sudden he's just like, no, I'm good, and he doesn't know what happened.
No.
He has no idea yet. Thankfully, it's okay that the thief got away because Ling Ling is smart and put a tracker on the statue. Because when someone comes to you and says, hey, this is a really big, important thing for humanity, look after it, a tracker is a good idea.
Yeah, she's a pretty smart one. So
yeah, smart cookie.
She's got a lot of good ideas.
Yeah. And so because of this tracker, they go to the thief's house, which turns out to be a mansion.
Yeah, that was a beautiful house.
And they break into it, and Pai is like drawn to a room which happens to have the statue sitting in it, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But they find Little Miss Huang.
Ooh.
Tied up to a pole in the room. And they're like, oh my god, are you okay?
And they help this woman.
They untie her. As this is happening, a man in a tux finds them and confronts them. And I'm like, this dude.
Brightest yellow eyes.
Clearly a vampire or a demon.
Oh yeah, I was like, he seems sus.
And he's just like, pulls out a machine gun. He's like, police won't care if I kill a robber, right? And just starts blasting at these kids.
And then I started blasting.
Yeah. And then Ling Ling is like, apparently a martial arts master, kicks his ass, and they run away, only to be shot at by like 30 more dudes in white suits.
Which I'm like, how many like guards are there to like take on just like three like teenagers and young adults? Wow.
This one, though, they can't fight off because Yakumo is shot to shreds again.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like magically fine, and all the baddies are surprised at this, and they call him a woo.
A woo?
Yakumo is kind of like thinking like a woo means that Pi has eaten his soul.
Mm-hmm. Which, and I mean, kind of.
But so they get attacked on the roof again by Mr., you know, demon daddy guy. He's not a daddy, he's gross. Demon guy. And Pi becomes sexy, angry Pi again.
Yep.
And explains she hasn't eaten a soul, just merged it together and their fates are bound. And the only way she can die, or the only way he can die, is if she dies. So he has to protect her. And the only way he can become human again is if Pi becomes human. So now he can't just abandon his quest because he fucking has to.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a pretty good, like contract or like,
but
yeah, like, I want to become a human and you're gonna help me. Otherwise, you could never die.
But also, being invulnerable would be freaking great.
Yeah, it would definitely be interesting. I would do a lot more crazy shit if I was invulnerable.
I would do so much crazy shit if I was invulnerable.
I mean, like, he can still feel pain and stuff like that, but...
Yeah, but if the pain goes away pretty quick, who cares?
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like after a while, you'd probably just get used to it.
And so Pi does some powery stuff and kills the monsters and then chastises Yakumo for being useless and then reverts back to baby Pi and has no idea what's happened. But then Vampy Boy appears again, demanding the statue, and summons some fancy water demon elemental bug thing.
Yeah, that was so weird.
Pi gets tentacle snap, and then he drops her because Yakumo picks up a downed electrical line and just like shoves it in his butthole and fries this thing.
I mean, effective. That'll do it.
And then Vampy Boy's like, all right, fuck it. I'm just going to take the statue. Calls a holographic hand in the sky to, like, pick it up.
Which, again, felt like a Sailor Moon transformation. Like, you know, at that one point when she gets all holographic-y?
Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is a random-ass hand. It's the only time we'll see it the entire series, but okay. As he's doing this, sexy little Miss Wong comes up and just, like, shoots the living shit into him and, like, blows him up. And he's like, you fucked up my husband, you asshole. We end the episode with Yakumo promising to make Pi again, and then we get a quick little scene where we see Huang in a sexy little one-piece outfit and learn that she's got clawed feet and a bone tail.
Yep. I was the like, clawed feet what part. Is going on?
Yeah, the clawed feet part is not a sexy thing for me. Same with the bone tail. The outfit, however. We're here for that. And so that's episode one. You know, strong episode. We get introduced to some important characters. We get some action. We kind of find out what's going on. We don't make us wait 10 episodes.
We get a lot of action. They cram a lot of action into this episode, but it doesn't feel forced, which is really great. Like, it all just seems really well paced.
Yeah, like my comment before about how it could have done with more episodes wasn't because it was just that it was too much in an episode. It's just there could have been more that we could have seen in addition, which would have been nice. Episode two is titled Yakumo, which is our primary protagonist.
Say, whoa,
name.
Why is it called that? That's so strange.
Pi and Yakumo, they return to Japan to live a normal life until the statue will eventually show up again. But as they're flying into Tokyo, we see a weird frog man in a trench coat watching from the dark.
Which seemed very Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, little foreshadowing for the upcoming events. And so they're at breakfast. Pi is like, oh yeah, so that bird is my best friend, and goes to summon it. And he's like, no, but it's like the size of a sparrow now. I guess when she summons it, she chooses what it looks like or whatever.
I mean, that makes sense. Cause yeah,
it still has
no
a human face though.
Yeah. It's really weird.
It's just like, it looks like it's made of mud. It's just clay and human face bird thing. But so
just
Yakumo's
a weird animorphs.
Like, yeah. And so Yakumo's like, I got to go to school. You can't come with me. You need to stay here.
Which always
so
goes
he, like,
well.
Yeah. So he like gets to school. They're in an assembly. He gets in trouble for talking. And then his friends find out that he trashed his bike. And they're mad because now they can't go on their like bike trip they had planned for next week. But they decide, all right, instead of being mad at you, we'll help you rebuild it. It's all good. And as they're rebuilding it, Angry Pi appears and is like, you cannot live a normal life. You need to do this shit. We can't just wait till it appears again, the statue. We gotta go.
She cracks the whip.
Yeah, and then Frog Demon shows up and collapses the entire bridge on Yakumo.
Also, I love that it's actually called Frog Demon.
And collapses his entire bridge and drinks the blood of his lady friend.
Oh my gosh. Just like so... Such a smart name. Just like, Frog Demon. All right, yeah.
And I didn't think anything about him drinking the blood of his lady friend. I just thought it was like a way to like advance his, you know, action. Angry Pie is like, oh my god, fuck this shit. And does some like little like rock and roll hand motion and sends the frog to the fucking Yu-Gi-Oh! Shadow Realm with one move. Yakumo's friends see him missing like half of his body.
Oh my gosh, I just saw this. You know who plays the frog demon in one of the English dubs? Taliesin.
Really?
Yeah, he plays Frog Demon in the Genyon dub.
Huh.
Yeah, I was just looking at the cast of it, and then I was like, blah, blah, blah. Oh, Steve Kramer, cool. And then it was like, Taliesin Jaffe. And I was like, what? So, fun fact for you all watching this.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Goth Dad plays Frog Demon.
She sends Taliesin Jaffe to the Shadow Realm. And then...
Which is where he's fine. He's comfortable there.
Yeah. And so his friends see him blown in half and healing. They all run away because, as you would after seeing what you just saw.
Yeah.
So he returns to his house and he finds out that the entire place is trashed. And he's freaking out because he doesn't know where Pi is because he passed out. It turns out that Mama, who is, I guess, his next door neighbor, Mama being like a parental figure in their life, they explain everything. Oh, they're this demon girl and I'm supposed to do this and that and blah, 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 blah. I guess they're super chill because they're like, yeah, you should do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't live a normal life. You have to do this.
I really liked that they included this kind of chosen family aspect of it. Because, yeah, Yakumo is an orphan, basically. And it's nice that he still has this kind of older person that they can go to for advice and, like, guidance and things like that. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. He's like, ugh, oh my gosh, maybe. So the next morning he goes to school and everyone thinks he's a freak. Like his friends are literally whispering rumors to people being like, pretty sure he's like the devil, or I'm pretty sure he's a this or he's a that, or he's an alien. He's I don't know. He's some crazy bullshit. And it's like, what shitty friends you've got to have.
I know, right? I was like, why would you guys be talking shit about it? That's so, first off, your friend died and you're like talking shit behind his back when he's like, like he came back to life. Like he, like, I did not get that. I was like, you guys are shitty friends for being like a whole gang and stuff. You're just like, well, he died, but then he didn't die. So like, fuck that guy. Like, what is going on?
And yeah, and he saved their fucking friend. But anyways,
yeah,
this gives him the final push he needed to like decide to be like, all right, nope, fuck it. I need to leave. I clearly don't have my group here anymore. But not before losing his mind at Pi for causing him to lose his friends. She doesn't even, like, register the anger as, like, being that he's mad at her and just, like, runs off to go to his school anyways, even though he told her not to. Pi shows up and starts talking with Natsuko, which is the girl that got her blood drank by Taliesin Jaffe. And they're having a conversation, and angry Pi comes out and tells her that Yakumo is her slave.
And isn't she, like, standing on top of the fence, too? Like, what a power move.
But then, like, all of a sudden, Natsuko slaps, a paper ward on Pi, and then sprouts 20 tentacles and becomes a giant frog monster, because apparently Taliesin Jaffe injected himself into her when he bit her.
Just depending on what version you're watching is Taliesin Jaffe.
Yeah. And again, because... You know, Pi is, you know, Pi. Natsuko is clearly dying, and she doesn't give two shits. She's like, Yakumo.
No, she's like, she's not going to help me become a human. Why do I care?
Yeah, she's like, I'm not.
Cold-hearted.
Yeah, and the Taliesin Jaffe's like, I'm going to become a human. I'm going to use this girl to do it. Yakumo's like, no, fuck it, use my body. And so, of course, the frog demon's like, all right, you're a woo, hell yeah. Starts going in to get him, and this is where Natsuko, Angry Pi is like, well, fine.
God damn it. You found the one loophole.
Yeah. So she steps in and gives the frogman the devil horns again and obliterates him, fully restoring Natsuko and Yakumo. And I'm like, if you could have done this from the first part, why didn't you just do it? Come on. Why are you just like being like, nah, just kill her? It's like, you could clearly save them.
Yeah.
But that's.
Well, and the thing was like, with Natsuko in this whole part, I think this was like the one battle that I was like, oh, this is oh no, like I definitely was like grossed out by it, like just the, like the like bubbling like skin, and oh, it was so gross.
Well, like the tentacles weren't just like appearing or like morphing from her skin. You'd see it like a scarab in The Mummy moving through her skin and then like,
yeah,
bursting out through a random point.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And now, having seen all of this bullshit again, his friends are like, oh, we're so sorry. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for saving Natsuko. We totally understand what's happening. Like, please, you need to go. Don't worry about our trip. Go to Hong Kong. Find your,
and they, like,
find your statue
again. Super fast. Like,
on a fucking dime.
Fake ass friends. You don't need them.
Yeah. And then
you can do better, Yakumo.
Yeah. And then we have this moment where, like, in his head, while they're on their way back to Hong Kong, Yakumo is like, am I in love with Pi?
I know.
And I was like, oh, Yakumo.
I know. Here's the question. These, like, weird teenage feelings.
Is it normal or is it illegal if she's technically 300 and he's 17?
I know. Well, I guess my thing would be, like, if she was human, she'd be dead. But I think you have to, like, compare it in relativity to her species. Is 300 equivalent to being, like, a 16-year-old developmentally?
But Angry Pie is, like, an adult-ass woman.
Yeah, but that's a different person.
I guess. Oh, I guess.
Also, okay, this is an auditory format, and I did air quotes.
So, okay. So we're going to say we're not sure if it's legal or not.
Yeah. The jury's out. We have other people who are more qualified.
On to episode 3, Sacrifice. We start off with Ling Ling again using her tracker because none of these baddies have thought to get rid of the tracker.
Right? Which, like, isn't that like baddie rule number one?
You'd think so. Check the shit that you're doing. But of course, we need the plot armor. All right. We need the plot armor, which I know is a term you just recently learned.
But I love it.
It's a great term. But so she comes to some guy who's like, I guess, a psychic, and he felt an evil presence in the air, and then the statue fell out of the sky. So he has it. Ling Ling goes to like talk to him about it, and all of a sudden, I thought it was the statue that explodes, but I guess something else explodes and it releases some big old demon into the sky.
Yeah, because why not?
And yeah, and so we cut back to like Pi and Yakumo looking for Ling Ling. They're attacked by some random girl, and then they are attacked by another demon gang who then steals the statue and kicks this random girl's ass. We find out this girl's name is Mei Shilong, so Mei. I'm going to call her Mei. Mm-hmm. Mei looks like Nobiki from Ranma.
Oh yeah, she does look like Nobiki.
The first thing I thought is like, she looks like Nobiki, so I was like, this girl's gonna be trouble because Nobiki's trouble.
The first thing I thought was, can I pull off a haircut like that? I like those angles.
Pi sends her bird friend after this gang, and Ling Ling's missing, and he gets the other guy that was missing is Mei's brother. They decide that they know where they're going, which is this hotel, and they go into the hotel and they're like, we'd like to go to episode 32, please. Or
episode 32.
Floor 32, and they're like, that floor doesn't exist, and they're like, we counted the floors, it's clearly there. And some like little like butler guy's like, don't worry, I'll help you, come this way, and takes him into the elevator and like reveals a secret panel, and he's like, this is only for special guests.
I know, which I was like, it feels so sus and so like, ugh.
Yeah, which is true, because as soon as they get up past a certain floor, the lights turn off, turn back on, and the elevator is now full of like demon like soldier
it
guys
becomes
and
a elevator.
Yeah, exactly. Heading to floor 666.
Whoa, the floor of the beast.
You know, they fight in this shaft before like jumping out into the floor they're supposed to be on. This creature blows the head off of Pi's bird, just like annihilates it, and throws Yakumo from the 32nd floor. But not only is this dude invulnerable, he also has fingers of steel because he catches himself. Like,
yeah, I saw that too, and I was like, your arms would rip off.
Like 10
there's
floors
no
down.
No way. Like,
yeah,
the
and he
of
climbs.
Floors?
Yeah, and so he climbs back up, and he's like sneaking inside, looking for trying to find what's going on, and he finds this giant statue called the Kaiyang Wang that I guess this cult sacrifices virgins to.
Yeah.
And we get this like crazy ritual scene involving demons, the statue, and a nearly naked Mei, who I can only assume is their virgin.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, there's some fan service.
And poor Mei is getting licked up and down by this fucking demon.
Oh, it was so gross. And they're trying to, yeah. And also, when they first said Cayenne Wang, I was like, oh, okay, so spicy dick. So then in my brain, I just kept calling him spicy dick.
Noted. And
hey,
so,
if you're going to call it Nine Eyes, I'm going to call him spicy dick.
Okay, that's fair. So Yakumo shows up and just fucking spears this demon through the skull, but he doesn't care.
No, he's like, aside. Whatever, lol.
But as he gets tossed aside, he snakes the statue in the process of all the dust from where he crashed into this pole. And then that whole gang of, like, cyberpunk demon soldiers shows up.
They were pretty cool.
And Yakumo's like, hey, I'll just smash the statue.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they're like, oh shit, that's a good tactic. So they all lay down all of their weapons. They lay down all of their weapons, and he's like, what's the deal with all this shit anyways? And the guy's like, this is the great Kaiyang Wang. We want him to inhabit the statue so he can resurrect himself after being locked away for 300 years, which coincidentally is how old Pi is.
Ooh.
And so Demon Boy is making, like, Yakumo, you know, hear this whole story. And then all of a sudden he's like, you know what? Fuck this shit. Why are we laying down our weapons? I have mental powers, and controls Yakumo and makes him go cut May open.
Oh, that part was so, yeah. Holy moly.
And he's like, come on, do it. Do it. Do it. Do it.
I want to eat her liver.
Yeah, exactly. Using the power of friendship, he uses his one free arm and cuts off his other arm holding the sword so that he drops it.
Which I was like, all right, smart move, yeah. I guess, if you and know then, that it's just going to grow back.
And then Pi shows up with a machine gun. And it's like, who needs magical powers when you can just shoot everybody? And proceeds to stop blasting. And then Ling Ling shows up, because apparently she wasn't stolen. She just got away in the dust in the explosion. And, like, also shows up with her own army, which is apparently just a bunch of occult writers.
I mean, hey.
From her production company. And they're, like, fighting and shooting and stealing shit. And then she throws a grenade as her, like, piece de resistance. And May, for some reason, looks at Pi and is like, so is Yakumo your boyfriend? And Pi, being innocent, is like, oh, no, he's not boyfriend. He's just friend. And yep. May likes that answer very much, because apparently our boy Yakumo has got the riz.
He can pull bitches.
Apparently. And so they all get to the roof. They realize Pi's not with them. And they're in a helicopter. They got to leave. And Yakumo's like, fuck it. I'm literally invulnerable. If this building comes down, I'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, so yeah. And Ling Ling can also just fly a helicopter.
Yeah. I mean, she's got all the skills.
She's such a badass.
And so he runs back in, and we see Pi having a,
like, a flashback.
We get this flashback scene of, like, murders happening and angry Pi doing all this shit. And then all of a sudden it flashes, like, back to the current time, and angry Pi is like, hey, young Pi, it took us 300 years to get you to not remember these horrors. Please don't start now.
Yeah, can you just, like, not pick at this scab? It's kind of for your own good.
Look, our therapist helped us push this
deep. We spent a lot of money.
That shit ain't cheap, okay? It ain't covered under healthcare.
Oh, man.
Yakumo comes in, is attacked by this demon boy gang, because apparently he's still alive. He's in denial that he's a woo and keeps smacking him around, because, like...
Sorry. He's a woo?
He's a woo? He's really mad that Yakumo's uwu, and... is smacking him around, trying to pull the uwu out of him, make him more of a senpai.
He is, like, fully just like, fuck this. Like,
yeah.
He's ready to, like, murk him.
And Yakumo finally decides he's sick of it. And we get the first look, and I think the only look, at Yakumo's powers when he pulls a Luke Skywalker and force pulls his missing hand with the sword to, like, slash this demon's throat.
Which was pretty badass.
And then, like, catches it on his wrist as it, like, fuses back on or something, or whatever it was. And the episode ends with Pi having more daddy issues as she stares at a new mystery man standing in the flames. At this, I say daddy issues because at this point I feel like it's going to be some, like, father dude or something from her past. We don't know yet.
Yep.
And we just end with her, like, staring out in the distance, and Yakumo kind of sees it, and he's like, is this my competition? Mm. Episode 4, the title at least kind of makes sense. We come in with straying, because there's some straying that goes on all around.
Oh, yeah.
We start back in the building, because this is not an episodic series, which is great. It actually follows the storyline. They manage to get to the chopper as the building is falling down. And we have a 2 weeks later moment. All of them are... yeah. And they're all staying at Hot Miss Wong's house.
I mean, it's a beautiful house.
Like, she's letting them stay in the mansion and use her technology to analyze the statue. I was like, oh, man, she's totally going to end up being evil, because the next scene, she's like, if Big Daddy Statue Demon doesn't wake up, I'll turn Pi into the next Big Demon Baddie Daddy. And I was like, no, Miss Wong, no. You're supposed to be the good version of Dami Mami, not the evil version. The gang goes shopping. It's a bit of a quick little shopping spree episode. And May gets sad that Yakumo has decided he's going back to Japan once he's human, because this girl is down bad.
Oh, she has been. She's got the love bug.
She wants to get Yaka thrown down on the ground. She wants Yakumo of his body all up. You know, anyways.
We're just going to keep going with all these terrible puns.
He starts having a daydream about living with Pi, because he's quickly changed his mind on who he's really into, and it's Pi. He accidentally grabs May as he like kind of hugs over her and gets our first little bit of fan service, which is the boob grab. Mm-hmm. And May just fucking slugs him. During all of this, Pi sees the same creature she saw in the shadows of the fire.
Ooh.
And freaks the hell out.
Oh yeah, she just like freezes straight up in the middle of this market.
Oh yeah, like she sees what this is and it's not a good thing. And so well, Yakumo...
And then we do the like really fun, like it's a busy market, but yeah, for the animation it's just like stop frames. And I was like, all right.
And so Yakumo runs off, chasing into the distance, and we discover that it's another woo, but it's the woo of the ancient demon statue
of Kaiyan Wang.
Baddy daddy guy, yeah, Kaiyan Wang.
Banaris. Was it Banaris? Banaris! It's Big Bad Banaris.
Yeah, and this woo is way more powerful than Yakumo, so Angry Pi
oh, yeah.
has to come out. And,
so much more powerful.
Yeah, saves the day by, like, making him go away, but he doesn't go away. In fact, he does the opposite. He stays around. He strays from the path, and he turns into a shadow, and he absorbs into May's shadow.
Yep. I was like, what kind of Peter Pan bullshit is this?
I know, right? And so we're back at the mansion, and we're having a party. It's a great party.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's to celebrate the return of the brother that got stolen, I guess.
Yep. May
goes on and puts on a cute dress. Very cute dress.
I mean, it
was
a cute dress.
And then her shadow boy takes over her body and uses her.
Yeah, the shadow just, like, stops moving, and you're like, yeah.
And then it absorbs fully into her body and is like, we need to take the statue. So she goes off. And she steals the statue, and she fights everyone and walks through the walls like she's the egg juggernaut from X-Men.
Yeah, and nobody is, like, clocking that, like, maybe something's wrong, and she's, like, dead-eyed.
Yeah, and then until she meets Angry Pi.
Yeah.
And she, this is the stupidest fucking thing. She just stares at her so hard that the shadow leaves.
Yeah, the shadow's like, oh, even this social interaction is awkward and uncomfortable. I just want to, I want to leave. This is
fun anymore.
Take
me at a party. It's been 30 minutes? All right, I'm out. Cool.
Yep. I'm like, all right, I've done my socially acceptable amount of time. Time to leave.
Yeah. And so as he does, though, Demon Guy kills Pi's bird again and delivers a message that she better give in or everyone will die.
Mm-hmm.
And we get this like ancient flashback scene where Kaiyan Wang is a tyrant, and it took her entire clan to seal him away, except she's the only survivor, which explains why she's so angry, I guess.
I mean, makes sense.
Yeah. We hit the end game of the episode where the bad guy's basically like, fuck you, either you win or you lose, get good, scrub. It goes back to the party, and Maya's like, no, we're partying, ignore everything I just did, I'm so sorry,
I don't care,
we need to party. So
we need this right now. Okay,
exactly.
I almost got sacrificed, I still have a liver and I want to use it.
Exactly. my note here is May isn't ready to give up on all of this yet, even if it means she has to give up on getting that woo D.
She wants a Polaroid camera. We're gonna use it.
I love that, like, Yakumo loves Pi, but May loves Yakumo.
Mm-hmm. This is
but
weird,
Yakumo,
tiny
but I'm
triangle.
I'm sitting there like, oh, poor Yakumo. He's not gonna get any of them.
And none.
But then we get this, like, cozy little balcony scene where it's alluded to that they kiss.
Ooh, how romantic.
And I was like, oh, shit. Ba-ba-ba-ba.
Get it.
My boy getting that 300-year-old kisses. And so he goes back to the party, but Pi's like, fuck this shit, I don't want to hurt him anymore. And Angry Pi's not happy about it, but quickly changes her mind when she's like, nah, fuck it, I love Yakumo too, let's roll. Which is wild, because he dies if she dies.
Yeah.
So why is she pulling the... I don't know. I was like, this is a weird plot hole, but okay. And so Yakumo finds her, and she like left her staff, and he runs after her towards the same path. He assumes she goes to, like, the only road or whatever.
Yeah, I guess. I guess there's only one road, and it leads to this yacht club.
He's sad that she left without telling him, and We get a bunch of like lovey-dovey emotional flashback scenes. This is that same moment where I was like, hold on, we got 3 minutes left. We got to have something that happens in this final episode of the season.
I was like, this is going to be such a weird battle. They're cramming it in. Like, they're literally shoehorning this shit. And then, yeah.
There is no battle because it shows downtown and they're just facing off against each other. And then Pi does this giant explosion. And I'm like, goodbye, city. Goodbye, Pi. Goodbye, three by three eyes. Like, what's what the fuck's going on?
Well, I guess Pi and Spicy Dick are just not happening.
No,
just obliterated.
But we get a follow-up scene to the end of the episode where it's now Yakumo wearing the traveling clothes, traveling throughout China, trying to find Pi because he realizes if he's still alive, so is she.
Mm-hmm.
And the episode ends him on a bus off to find his new girlfriend to get one more of them sweet, sweet kisses.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I did like.
Yeah, I was like, all right, fine, I'll watch season two, pull my pie.
Yeah, it was like a nice little bookend, you know? We start with Pi doing that, and then we end with him doing that. Like, I thought it was a nice way to end it. I wasn't mad at the, like, blip of an ending.
No, honestly, I preferred a giant explosion leading to him having to go find her over a really condensed, like, we fight, and the episode is done. Like, it would just be a... I don't know. This feels like it's at least leads into another season and things that are going to be keeping, you know, ongoing.
Yeah, so exactly. It's good.
Yeah, it was fun. I liked it. I had a good time with it. I think that it was something I will watch the remainder of the second season on eventually, just because I want to know if he actually gets his fucking powers, because we had one thing of him using his powers in all of this friggin' series. One time, and it's just a Luke Skywalker lightsaber pull of the sword.
Yeah,
and that was it. So that was a bit of an annoyance, but overall I think it's a pretty decent series. I'm excited to look at the manga because the panels that I've looked at are stunning, incredibly detailed. I'm gonna give it like a 7.
Yeah, I think I'd agree. I'd probably I'd say like a 7.5.
okay.
But yeah, no, I definitely agree. Like, it wasn't like the most incredible thing I've ever seen, but I did enjoy it and I didn't regret watching it. And I do think I would be interested to see where the story continues after this.
Yeah. And apparently the average score for it's like 6.71.
Okay.
So we enjoyed it a little more than most.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you recommended it because I don't think I would have watched it otherwise because I always see it on my
radar. I was definitely nervous.
Like...
I was like, I don't know what to recommend.
Well... Well, I'm nervous about my next week's stuff, but that's for next week.
Yeah, it's like, that's next week's problems.
Yeah, but for this week, I like what you chose for me.
Oh, I'm glad. Thanks, Mackenzie.
It could have been... I don't know how many people watch or listen to Anime Out of Context, but one of the recent episodes was a show about a fart. And that is something I would make you watch. And so, since I know that you know that I'd make you watch something like that, I was worried that you were about to have me watch something insane. Which is fine. Please don't shy away from it.
Yeah, I was like, you don't know what I have lined up for you.
Exactly. Don't shy away from it. But overall, yeah, I'm digging it. I think people should watch this one, at least even just to, like, you know, see a classic. Try and find like a DVD. Yeah. Try and find a DVD quality, because watching it streamed at 360p, you lose a lot. Oof.
Yeah.
You don't get to see the scales on Taliesin's face when he's devouring this lady. Or when Taliesin, like, aliens
out
of her
stomach.
He's
gonna be like, stop spreading rumors about me.
I think he'd think it's funny.
I'm not a frog demon.
go watch it so that it has more than just 12,000 people who've reviewed it.
Yeah, give these people residual. You won't give them residuals if you stream it online, but you know, anyways.
Well, that's the other thing. It's not anywhere to stream online. I had to watch it other places.
Yeah.
It's not on Crunchyroll or anything like that, because apparently it's not popular enough.
It's on YouTube, though.
Oh, they should have watched it on YouTube.
All right, well, that was my first choice, and I think I'm off to a relatively good start, and there's only down from here. So we'll see what I make you watch next, Mackenzie. But thanks, everyone, for listening. And if you want to, we would really love it if you would follow us on social media. We're at Animates across all platforms. Stream us on Spotify, Apple Music, any of your favorite podcast platforms. It'd be really great. And it'd be also really funky, fantastic, awesome if you could rate us like 5 stars, because I think we're 5-star material. So, yeah. Anything else you want to add, Mackenzie, before we head on out?
I would just like to reiterate that Miss Wong is mommy status.